plumbers become super plumbers, installing a super quick water dispenser. Superquick.com.au.
The Big Breakfast, Marto, Robin and the Moon Man, big Thursday edition of the show. Rob, we had Ray Maher. He joined us on there today.
Oh, no. Alf Stewart from Home and Away. What a nice fella. And he knew more about rugby than Marto did, and that is saying
God,
something.
God, he was impressive, wasn't he?
Yeah. He was 74. Sorry.
A story behind that tangy sauce, too. And
James
I've
Packer,
humiliated myself about. As Russell Crowe.
Again.
Because I'm not Russell Crowe.
No. Big show. Starts now. On the catch up. Enjoy.
If you watch any free-to-air television, you would have seen the ad with the old bloke cooking up some pasta sauce in his kitchen.
They call us the Innovation Nation, but 60% of Aussie small businesses don't have a website. To prove how easy it is, I've started raiseflamingHotSauce.com.au.
Well, I think you all recognise that ad. It's been played so many times over the last couple of months. If you're not sure, you go, who is that old bloke? It's Alf Stewart off Home and Away for the last gazillion years. His proper name's Ray Maher from Home and Away. How are you, mate?
Very well, mate. Not so much of the old bloke, eh?
Oh, sorry, mate. One's talking to another, mate. We wanted to talk about the ad and how the sauce business is going.
Oh, look, the sauce is just flying out the window, mate. There's no stopping it. You obviously haven't been online to try and buy a dozen bottles. The sauce thing is total sales of the sauce goes to a charity called Cure Cancer Australia.
Oh, good one.
And that came about because an old mate of mine up there, Dawn Schaefer, has been having a bit of a battle with cancer for about 5 years. That's her favourite charity. And I said, well, I want my bit to go to Cure Cancer Australia. And then the GoDaddy people said, well, we can do a bit better than that. We'll put the lot. It's $12 a bottle, and every dollar of those $12 goes to Cure Cancer Australia. So it's a pretty worthwhile cause.
Did you make the sauce? Was that your kitchen?
Look, it wasn't my kitchen exactly. That was for the ad. But in terms of the sauce, I did have help. I've got to say I had help, but what I helped with was the tasting.
Yes.
So, Ray, why have you stayed so long with Home and Away? Is it because as an actor you're just grateful for the work or you love it?
Look, I think laziness is the answer to that.
Yeah.
Just too lazy to try and find another job.
Right. Well, Megsy, a.k.a. Alf Stewart, can you tell these guys or tell everybody your footballing background?
I went to school at Ashgrove Morris Brothers. I didn't do too well in the classroom, but at school I did reasonably well on the sporting fields, in rugby in particular.
Yeah.
Played for Wests, played in every trial that you've ever seen for Queensland, like Queensland versus the rest, Reds versus Whites, Possibles versus Probables. I appeared in more trials than the worst criminals in the world. And then finally got on against France and had a game against Australian Combined Services.
Played for the Reds, Robin. Really Al Stewart played rugby for the Reds. And, mate, how well are they going? To this day, you're a Reds fan. How well are they going this year with Brad Thorne?
Oh, unbelievable. It's just such a pleasure to watch. And, mate, I've got a theory on this recent carry-on.
Yeah.
This fella, Stephen Kitchoff, that they're playing at the weekend.
From Cape Town.
I reckon he stood in the Russian elections last weekend. I reckon he had something to do with that. And I'm sure that his involvement had something to do with why the Reds couldn't get on that plane in São Paulo. They're just trying to disrupt their preparation. And I reckon Kitchoff's got a lot to answer for. And I reckon Tupou will make him answer at the weekend.
God, I was worried you didn't keep up with it. Mate, you are the best, Megsy. Cheers, mate.
Good on you. Thanks, guys.
Can we talk about James Packer? Because the surprise news overnight that he has resigned from the Crown Board. So Crown Casinos right around the globe. He is one of Australia's richest men, if not the richest man.
Yeah,
he's got a personal fortune of $3.9 billion, and he's still a 47% owner of Crown.
Yeah.
He sold $100 million in shares in the last 2 weeks in Crown.
Well, that would be in preparation for the announcement last night because, as I said, he's resigned. But it's the reasons giving for his resignation that's got everyone talking because he is claiming he is struggling with mental health issues. This is how it was reported last night.
He has spoken previously about battling a downward spiral.
I became depressed and was emotionally exhausted.
James Packer may have stepped down from direct decision-making at Crown, but he still holds enormous influence by having some 47% of its shares worth some $4 billion.
Mm.
His example shows wealth is no insulation against mental health issues.
And that is the thing I want to say. From someone, you know, for me, who's experienced and dealt with my husband who had mental health issues and then sadly killed himself 3.5 years ago, people think that if I can just get to this amount of money, or if I can just get this job, or if I can just be this person that somehow, or lose this weight, or do something that somehow their life will become miraculously better. And the great thing about what James Packer is now doing is A, validating mental health, which I think we've struggled with in this country, but B, is also showing that money is not going to make you happy.
Wow.
But isn't that the nature of mental illness or any kind of struggle where you think you're looking for answers and so you're going for obvious things? You think, if I had more money, that would certainly take care of some of the worries, or if I lost some weight, I'd feel better about myself. So you're searching for answers, and so it's not completely illogical to imagine that some things might help your life.
You think of the pressures he's had, though, on him.
Yeah, like he had
$5 billion worth of debt about 2 and 3 years ago. He got rid of a lot of that, but he had to settle with his sister for $1.5 billion.
That's true.
And so therefore there was something went on there. He had all his employees that he sent over there to try
to drag
VIPs. He had 18 people in jail in China. One of his bosses, like one of his mates, was in jail because of him for a fair while in China.
Does anyone say Mariah Carey?
Mariah Carey, yes.
You know, in a way, it's interesting how men's lives seem to spiral really quickly out of control.
He turned 50.
You know, bad choice of partner with Mariah, even he admits that. He also had a public punch-up in 2014 with his best mate, David Gingell.
And that was over Miranda Kerr, wasn't it?
Yeah.
That's right.
You know, he has struggled with weight and
That gastric band, I think, is broken.
He's been searching. Oh, the lap band's gone. It pinged a while ago. And he's been searching for religions too.
Thank God, that's not working.
He's tried, Zen Buddhism and Scientology.
Tom Cruise has done it.
Do you know what? I think he's a troubled person that's been searching for answers for a long time, and maybe he needs to get out of business. Maybe he needs to get a job at Bunnings and just chill out.
Yeah, just have the apron on and say, can I help you? Yeah. We've also got in size 12, yeah.
Yeah.
Be a lot easier. Hey, can I point out one thing?
Bunnings look happy.
Just for everyone, and you, well said, Robin, about the money thing. Jeff Kennett came on, and I appreciate this guy. He's got one hell
Former
of a melon
Premier
on him.
He's got Victoria.
A shocking-looking melon, Jeff Kennett. But, gee, makes sense. When he said this, he's from...
As I say to people, what's the most important thing in life? Waking up the next day. If you can wake up each day and you're healthy and optimistic, we're all in a pretty good place.
Is that what it's about?
That's exactly what it's about. Look at the things that you have in your life, not the things that you want.
And can I just wrap it up? They had it on A Current Affair last night and they went through it, etc. It was slightly ironic that Tracy, go for gold, Tracy, wasn't on A Current Affair last night. They had Layla McKinnon, who, of course, is the wife of David Gingell,
who
that great tracksuit, they were both in their tracksuits having that punch-up. Remember that at Bondi?
Yeah, I do remember.
Okay,
well,
she closed the whole story down with this.
And the Nine Network has always had a very close association with the Packer family, and this evening our thoughts are with them and we wish James the best with his recovery.
And on a personal note, I'd just like to say that my husband won that fight.
Hey, listen, this is Australia's only manufactured unit like this, okay? So it's underneath the sink combo, does boiling hot water for your tea or coffees and does freezing cold water for those who love that. It covers all options for the workplace. It's a beauty. Super Quick, K-W-I-K.
SUPAKWIK.com.au. Super Quick.
Its competitor is a lot more expensive and breaks down a lot.
SUPAKWIK, made right here in Brisbane.
Okay, so if you're the blokes that, when you're supermarket shopping, stop and pick up the women's magazines to read them, I want you to
Name him.
Huh?
Just name him.
Okay, Lawrence Moon.
Yeah.
I do. You know, if I'm left waiting at one of the two major supermarkets, Woolies or Coles, it's like, well, I'm waiting, I'm reading your mag for free, and when it's time for me to put my stuff on the checkout, I'll put the mag back.
Do you ever start the crossword? Are you there that long? Or tear a little recipe out?
Tear a recipe out.
Well, because it's Thursday, Moon, I want you to grab Who Weekly, which comes out today. And today's a special issue because it's their Most Beautiful People of 2018 issue, but they've done something slightly different on the front cover.
Yep, they've left me off again.
Oh, yeah. You know.
Yeah, sorry, mate.
Not one of the beautiful people.
And you weren't best comedian at Adelaide either. Sorry, bro.
Salt in the wounds. Yeah.
Rebecca Gibney is on the front cover as Moon picks himself up from the floor. But what is unique about this is Rebecca Gibney, who is 53 years old and a bit of an Australian icon, has appeared without makeup. And there is a whole issue in this week's Who about
Good
women.
Honor.
Really?
That's fabulous.
Well, in the article she says, and she currently lives in New Zealand, most of my adult life I thought I wasn't attractive unless I had a full face of makeup on.
Oh, that's sad.
And I still have that sort of inadequacy. Now, as a woman who is in her 50th year, meaning me, I would never go out of the house without makeup.
Why not?
I reckon I've seen you sans makeup.
Have you? Where?
Do you have makeup on when you get in here in the morning?
Have you always got makeup on?
Is that as good as it gets?
Sadly, yes, Marto.
So you wear it every day?
Yeah, I do. And most women do. But my question to you as blokes is, do you prefer women with or without makeup?
Well, my wife is very minimal. Bit of lippy and sometimes just the, you know, a slight bit of powder but basically nothing. And I love makeup. I want it to wear more. I want like lipstick.
Clown.
I want the mascara. I like the heavily shadowed eyes.
So you like makeup, girl? See, I'd prefer like nothing.
Really?
I prefer nothing at all.
Right.
Mm. Why do you prefer nothing?
I don't know, because I believe makeup to be a lie, to be a mask that you're trying to hide from the world. You're trying to hide something.
Yes, agreed.
And I keep talking about, yeah, all right, so what's wrong with that you're saying?
I'm not understanding the problem.
You're not getting your fight there, Mo.
All right.
133353, come on, blokes, tell us. I think this is going to be a lesson for all women.
So this is a message for women.
Oh, I'm just curious. Do men prefer women with makeup or without? My partner, Sean, who listens, just texted me and said, I love you natural, baby. I'm like, yeah, still, I'm not going to walk out the door without any.
Well, there's a fear to confront, maybe. There's something to confront.
No.
I want my wife to wear more makeup because she doesn't want to wear it. Yeah. Wear more makeup, Lou. Look like somebody you're not. Well, yeah, it's kind of an insult, I guess.
Michael,
I love no makeup.
Of Brendale, do you prefer women with or without makeup?
Hey, guys. Yeah, no, I prefer without makeup. I think, to be honest, most people are beautiful without it. Me and my wife were actually talking about this last night, and she says that she wears makeup because she was teased in school, stuff like that, and she just can't. She can't see herself without makeup.
Has she got freckles?
Really,
or
sad.
What was she teased about? Freckles or something?
Well, she grew up in Chile, and she's very pale-skinned. So she was teased about her
dark
skin colour, you know, that sort of stuff. Like, just stupid school kid stuff.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's just really affected us.
But don't you reckon they've earned every wrinkle you've earned because you've smiled
absolutely.
Or laughed or everything else? Yeah. Just show it off.
Thank you, Michael. But it's interesting. Mm. You think of Married at First Sight and those women who are potentially a snapshot of what's happening in society right now. Fake hair and fake eyelashes. Do you
but
notice?
Also,
on lips.
Divina,
all the cosmetic surgery.
Divina with the lips.
A lot of
and
fake things.
The Botox. I like makeup, but too much Botox looks stupid.
Do you reckon
smooth
makeup
faces.
Uses increased since all the Instagram and photo stuff, Facebook?
Oh, without a
and
doubt.
Yeah, right.
Yes.
I don't
right.
necessarily think it's the lipstick and the mascara. I think it's the all-over tan, like the self-tanning and the stuff that give the coverage so that you look like you've been photoshopped. That's what's increased.
Well, you just look like you've mowed the grass and go to the shops like I do. If you don't have a mirror, you have no
cover
idea.
Cover yourself in ants and live your life.
Well, that does happen.
Works by Marto. Joel of Ipswich, do you prefer women with or without makeup?
Good morning. I'm kind of a fence-sitter in that way. I personally think, you know, whatever you want and make you feel confident to face the world is up to you. I mean, I have three daughters and we've had several conversations about makeup, less is more is less. At the end of the day, I said, if you girls, you don't want to have it like you've put it in a shotgun and shot it on your face, like
Simpsons
that time. yeah, exactly. But, you know, whatever you need to feel confident to make you get through the day with your chin up and achieve your goals, then you go for it.
Hey, Joel, have you ever had to pull them up as they're going out and go, no? Nah, get back inside.
So, a couple of times I've said, maybe a bit thick on the, the foundation or something like that.
The
or are you sure you want to go with that colour of blue above your eyes?
Yeah, what's that eye stuff called?
Eyeshadow.
Okay.
Yeah, but ultimately they said, you know, Dad, I feel good, I feel confident. I can go and face the boys and the girls with my head held high, and I'm like, you go for it, Dale. Yeah. You go and kick some ass, you know?
Yeah, get out there and duck face your way through the night.
I think generally fathers are like, I don't mind the makeup, but will you put something on?
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you have a crack at Lily, your 18-year-old? Does she wear makeup?
No, because I don't want to make her feel self-conscious, but, you know, her makeup is heavy.
Okay.
And I don't want to say it looks ridiculous or pass comment on it. I just want her to do what she needs to do.
Aren't there famous makeup artists like these girls are making a fortune out of showing other girls how to do on Instagram and stuff?
YouTube, you bet.
Yeah.
Ali from Tambourine, what do you think about makeup, Ali?
Good morning. Well, I'm a girl and I like my girls without makeup, 100%.
Do you wear makeup?
No.
Never.
No makeup ever. I'm 40 and my fiance, she doesn't wear makeup either. And I've been with girls that do wear makeup and it messes up your face.
Wow.
Like when you're trying to kiss, lipstick goes everywhere and yuck.
I like that bit. I like smudging the lipstick.
All right. Well, 90% of everyone that called through prefer women without makeup. So
there you go.
I don't believe it.
I'm not sure that'll change anything.
You need to go out with a clown. You need to go out with a clown, Moon.
Triple M.
Spoiler alert for people that don't know that when Russell Crowe appears on our show, it's not really Russell Crowe. It's me pretending to be Russell Crowe.
No, really?
Yeah, I'm really sorry. But it's vital that you know this for this story. As you know, that Russ is having the Art of Divorce sale at Sotheby's on April the 7th with him and his wife Danielle. They're splitting, they're auctioning off a whole lot of stuff, all of his sporting memorabilia, which I'm sure Danielle's happy to see go, watches, the chariot from Gladiator, his Rabideau's chopper. There's a huge amount of stuff. And we had the catalogue and we were flicking through it.
What do we
estimate? And I was doing a bit of Russ on air.
Yeah, what do we estimate was worth about $3.5 million or so, I think he'll get out if he gets the reserve price.
Now, Luke, Libby and Dobbo have also been going through the catalogue, and last week I recorded some stuff as Russ where I was reading out a couple of auction items and they had to guess higher or lower.
Yeah, which I heard that segment.
On the rush hour, yep.
Anyway, the other day I walk into the Kennedy and Malloy office and their producer has the catalogue open, and I said to her, Whitney her name is, I said, Luke, Libby and Dobbo have been doing some work on that and I've been pretending to be Russ. So if you want me to voice some catalogue items, I can do it. And she said, that won't be necessary. And I said, no, really, I do Russ. And she looked at me like, do you? So I go into a bit of Russ. I said, yeah, that's what I do. And these are my auction items. And she said, really, Lawrence? Yeah, thank you, mate. She goes, no, really, Lawrence, we don't need you to do that. And I was like, oh, okay. And I had to inquire again because I was a bit hurt. I said, are you sure? And she said, we don't need you to do it because Russell Crowe is going to be on the show. Oh.
Well, there's one thing that won't be happening with us.
Okay, no worries.
You're impersonating.
Get the real Russell Crowe.
You want to.
Yeah.
Does he know you're you might be impersonating him?
I hope not.
Yes, he does litigate.
If I run into him, I reckon he might have a couple of words to say to me. And they'll be deeper and angrier than those.
Russ, why don't we go outside and have a ciggy and talk about this like that?
I don't want to go outside, Russ. I want to stay inside.
It's dark out there.
It's the Big Breakfast with Marto, Robin and the Moon Man.
Okay, I'm going to reveal some stuff that I'm not overly proud of with my parenting. The problem I have is that I'm a single mother of three teenage boys. And, you know, for the last 3.5 years since their father died, I have been desperately outnumbered in all points of parenting. So I learnt very quickly that the only way that I could ever manipulate a situation is that because I'm smaller than all of my sons now, that it has to be about consequences and me taking things off them that they care about.
From them,
yeah. Like, sorry, grammatically incorrect.
Yes. I'm a big one for that.
Okay, clearly. you know, it's evolved over time and I have got a lot better at it. And last night I was having some issues with my nearly 16-year-old. He and I go from 0 to 100 in about 2 seconds flat. We both spark off each other. Yeah, I think so. He's
and the case with the child that's similar to you that it's...
Yeah, and the very things that explosive. I love about him are also the things that we clash about. Like, he's really got a lot of spunk about him. He's not afraid of anyone or anything, and he is the kid that will make a really great functioning adult.
Yep.
But it means that
needs
now...
Needs to get there.
Yeah, exactly right. And his preschool teacher said that to me when he was 4. She came up to me and he'd given her a really hard time, and she said, Robin, I just want to say to you that your son has the potential to rule the world. He will be a man amongst men. And I looked at her and I said, are you serious? Like, are we talking about the same child? And she said, if he lives that long. And that kind of explains this kid.
Right, was she threatening his life?
Yes.
But let me take full responsibility because I am his single parent and I am the parent in this relationship. But last night I was just getting super frustrated and he and I were sparking at some stuff that he hadn't done for me that I'd asked him to. And I do get very frustrated when I have to say things 400 times. So I just come down on really hard. So as the evening progressed, I started to remove screens because that's his currency.
How many screens has he got?
Well, this is my question. Okay, so we start this process, but I haven't actually thought through what is required. And I start with his phone and then his computer.
Yeah.
And then I realise...
So is that a desktop or just a laptop?
No, a laptop.
Doesn't he need that for his study and he's in grade 11?
Okay, I haven't worked that out yet. Today's a brand new day.
Right.
I do know where the hiding spot is and I can tell his other brother. Anyway, so they started with those. And then I'm thinking, well, hang on. If I'm going to remove all screens, do I then take away the TVs? Well, there are four of those in the house. Each of his brothers also have computers, so then he could try and access those, and there's five of those in the house.
Oh, God.
Each one of us has a phone, so there's five phones. And I'm thinking...
Five phones? Hold on. Who's packing two?
Oh, well, we have a housekeeper who helps me in the mornings.
Zelma, the
wonderful
Zelma.
Yeah, and she's got her own TV and she's got her own computer.
She's got to get rid of the gear.
So I'm then starting to think that actually we are a household with at least 15 different screens.
That is a lot of radiation.
Is it, though? Is it? Come on. Like, let's be honest. And I guess I want to ask, you know, my fish was this big.
I think three is the average. Most humans have a phone, a computer or a laptop, and a TV for it. Most homes have three TVs, don't they?
Are we counting that drawer that Planet Ark want to get their hands on with all the old mobile phones in it? Because we have got a stack of those.
I haven't even thought about them. Well, I've still got his SIM, so we can't put that in an old phone.
But yeah, but you can still get onto Wi-Fi
without a SIM. Have you got a drawer with all your old mobile phones?
Yeah.
But wait, what are they for? What do you keep old mobile phones for?
Because the
same reason there's 13 drink bottles in that drawer. You haven't got around to cleaning it out.
But are they operational? So you're saying you've got 15 screens.
I think that's pretty much, if I'm doing my maths correctly, but I am very curious. Here is the chance to really blow us away. How many screens do you actually have in your house?
When you talk about, taking screens, do you also have something unpredictable? Have you got your psycho that you just throw in there occasionally too, Robin, when you just start screaming and all the boys just run away and hide in their rooms?
I am not proud that me and a fishwife are slightly incarnated together. Like, right. I can scream like a complete banshee. It is not good.
If it all went poorly, what would the neighbours say if the TV camera said, what were they like as neighbours? Oh, she was always just yelling at them, stealing things out of their room.
They'd hear this scream and then they'd see three teenage boys running into the street.
Those poor boys.
No. You should feel sorry for them.
You don't know what they'd put up
with. I'm not great. Terry of Jacob's Well, how many screens have you got?
Well, we've got five TV screens and a 90-inch projector.
Oh, wow.
Okay, five TV screens.
How many humans, Terry? A big 90-inch projector.
Just one. The kicker is it's on a boat.
Oh, just you?
Yeah, it's a little bit expensive, I know.
What are you running there, Terry? Are you like the candy man on the water?
I'd like to think so, but no, not at all. The people who had obviously commissioned the boat before I got my hands on it were definitely...
keen viewers.
I think very tech orientated, everything's Wi-Fi and all that sort of carry on. Everything's got a TV and so forth.
Okay, the phone's really terrible, Terry, but I'm taking from that you live on a houseboat and that's very cool.
You might be taking water by the sound of it.
Meg of Caboolture, how many screens you got at home?
Total 20.
How many people?
Four adults and sometimes up to four kids.
Oh, it's not too bad.
Yeah, it's less than that. We're figuring the average is three. Is that where we're going to sit?
I think so.
Well, it's still going up according to the calls coming through.
Okay, Thor.
Got a laptop and a phone, haven't they?
Yeah, Thor of Bundamba. How many screens?
I've got 24 screens, if I did my math correctly.
How many people?
Seven kids and two children.
Two adults.
Seven kids with that many screens.
Well, he is Thor.
Oh, dear. All thanks, mate.
Thanks, Thor. Big breakfast. Marto, Robin and the Moon Man on Triple M.
Newsreader Tasha, are you still in our news booth?
Yes, guys. Yep. Hello.
Okay, hello. Your lead story, and it is also the front page of today's paper, is about the chopper crash up north.
Oh, yeah. So sad. Yeah.
Can you tell me, because I understand that they were trying to land, there were five tourists or five people on board, and three have survived and two have died. But I'm just trying to understand, did the chopper go into the water?
Yeah, that's right. So I don't know if you guys have been up to the reef, but they've got these amazing opportunities where you can actually get a chopper flight and it flies out to the reef, over the reef, looks amazing, and it lands on these special pontoons, like helipad pontoons. So they're quite big and you can have lunch on there and all sorts of different things. And anyway, this chopper, it seems at this stage, although obviously investigators are arriving there today to look into it properly, but it seems like the chopper, something happened. And the chopper didn't make it onto the pontoon as planned and ditched into the water. Amazingly, though, these people who were already on the pontoon just having their holidays then dived into the water and were able to pull three people out of this chopper as it was going down. They pulled them out of the water. They gave them CPR, and three people did manage to be rescued.
Wow.
Two people, unfortunately, have died, and we do know that they were tourists.
Tasha, the pontoon's about 80 k's out off Hamilton and Early Beach, etc.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
Were they on a helicopter, the other people, the ones who saved them and were on the phone to authorities, you know, with how do we do this? How did they get out to the pontoon?
Yeah, so still to be determined, but I know with those areas, sometimes the chopper will kind of do some drop-offs. So it'll be kind of coming, going, and people just kind of hang on the pontoon.
And you snorkel off the edge of the
snorkeling, yeah. And you can kind of spend the day on these very large pontoons. But obviously, you know, the CASA investigators are there. Yeah. The chopper company has obviously suspended all operations until they know exactly what's happened. But amazing efforts from these people to go to those lengths and save lives, literally.
Yeah, thank you, Tash, in our newsroom. But the thing, like, for me, that would be my worst nightmare. And I know that at Yeronga Park Pool, they do chopper evacuation practices.
What does that mean?
They have this contraption that goes into the pool and it's a cage.
Yeah, and I've done this before.
Okay.
Done what?
Yeah, so there you go.
When I was working at Channel 9, you do, if you're going to go up in the chopper, you've got to do underwater evacuation training first.
Why?
So they've got a simulated chopper, which is basically a cage in the pool, and four of you get in it. And so they basically, they say, brace, you've got a seatbelt on, and then they tip it upside down and sink it. And when you go under the water, there's for each person in the chopper, there's somebody underneath the water with scuba gear on watching you to see whether you get in trouble or not. And then it becomes more complex and complicated. So they do it with a blindfold on then with headphones on.
Oh, that's awful.
And then they ask one person to stay in the chopper, the other three to surface, and then you go back down and get the other person out. So it's a full day.
What happens
day.
When a chopper, when the blades hit the water, they stop, don't they, I guess?
Well,
the water
the other
slows
thing.
Them down.
You've got to basically point upwards to make sure that you've checked that the blades have stopped going around. And the interesting thing is that your immediate instinct would be to undo your seatbelt and try and get out. But they say leave your seatbelt on until the chopper stops, because it's your centre of the universe. By grabbing the buckle, you know what direction to go to get out. But if you take it off and you're floating around, then you don't know where to get out.
We don't know what up and down. Imagine doing that in the dark. You wouldn't know where you were.
So you do it with a blindfold on. Anyway, the first one that I did, you know, because I'm an idiot, I'm mucking around, I'm making chopper noises, I'm going...
Of course you are.
And everyone else is like looking at me thinking, well, this is pretty serious. So anyway, they go, brace, turn it upside down. And as I'm going under, I thought, I haven't taken enough air here. So I undo my seatbelt. I'm the guy you don't want to be in a horrible situation with. I undo my seatbelt, and you know Martin King from ACA,
the guy, the reporter.
Current affair.
Hair, yeah.
He's got the grey hair. He always does the, you know, the door stop. Excuse me, can you explain to me?
Yeah.
Anyway, he comes to the surface, and Lou was on the course with me. And she said she came up first. She was really good at it, very cool, calm and collected. Yeah. That's where we met, my wife Lou and I. And she comes to the surface. She said, Martin King comes up next and he's holding his face. She goes, what's wrong, Martin? He goes, someone kicked me in the face. And then she's looking around thinking, where's Lawrence?
You got a sore foot.
I break the surface like this.
My foot's hurting.
Who headbutted my foot?
Moral to the story, don't get in a chopper with Moon.
Yeah, it's the big breakfast with Marto, Robin and the Moon Man. 104.5 Triple M.